All right, welcome everybody. This is Arielle Ford, and tonight we have your bonus workshop, Getting Ready for Love, Looking Good, Feeling Beautiful Right Now with Eve Hogan and Lauren Francis. And before I bring them on, let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Eve is an inspirational speaker, relationship specialist, and author of many books, including Intellectual Foreplay, Virtual Foreplay, How to Love Your Marriage, and Way of the Winding Path. She's based in Maui, and her website is evehogan.com. And also with us is internationally acclaimed love and relationship expert Lauren Francis. She's the creator of the Man Magnet Makeover Weekends and Cyber Flirt Reboot Programs for Online Dating, and she's also the author of Dating, Mating, and Manhandling, the Ornithological Guide to Men for Modern Women Who Are Ready to Create, ready for this, bodice-ripping romance. So Lauren and Eve, welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you both here. And we're going to start tonight with Eve talking about body image and dating and how to love the body you have now, because I know for so many women that is a really big issue. And the one thing I really want to begin with is, being in the soulmate business, I know dozens of really happy soulmate couples, and none of the women are a size 2 or a 4 or a 6. They're real women with real bodies, and some of them are plus size, and it doesn't mean you can't have love if you think your body's the wrong size. It really has nothing to do about that. And so, Eve, just jump in here and share with us your perspective.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, and you're absolutely right. And it's one of those funny things. I heard a speaker once say that breasts come in two sizes from a woman's perspective, either too small or too large. And I think that we have that same issue with our entire body. I mean, now, when was the last time you met a woman who just went, I'm perfect, I'm just right? I mean, it doesn't really matter what their size is. We all seem to have this kind of affliction with thinking it should be different, you know? So I really love that you brought up that point, that people can find absolute wonderful, healthy, great relationships no matter what their size is, and really feeling comfortable with that is such an inside job. I actually, and just to jump in a little further, I actually did a lot of research on online dating when I was writing my book, Virtual Foreplay, and there's even whole websites for people of certain body types, you know, like large and lovely, you know, big and beautiful, that kind of a thing. So, you know, there are people looking for you. You got to just get your own story out of the way and start loving yourself.
Well, how do you coach people to get to that loving yourself part, to really, you know, growing to own and accept the body as it is now?
Right. Well, first thing I do, there's two parts to it. One is accepting and loving your body the way it is now, and if there's something that would make you feel better, making motions toward that. And I'm not talking about, like, get on a diet and lose weight. I'm talking about moving your body, taking a walk, doing something so that you feel like you're honoring your body, even if it's getting a massage or anything, so that you're actually doing some work to love and honor your body. But the big thing I find for myself is that what I do on automatic pilot with self-talk when I'm not being conscious is say mean and nasty things to my body, like, oh, look at that cellulite, you know, look at that, oh, your thighs are too fat, your hips are too this, your breasts are too that, you know, and when I'm not conscious, I will say mean and nasty things to myself, which I think is what most women and men probably as well do. And when I realized that I was doing that, I really actively started practicing what I call self-observation and being observant of what I'm saying to myself and then asking myself, and this expands beyond the body to anything you say to yourself. It doesn't have to be body related, but that's our topic. So when you find yourself saying mean and nasty or judgmental things about your body or yourself, to really take a deep breath, stop, and drop in a little bit deeper into more of an authentic place of remembering who you really are as a spirit being on this planet, and then choosing your words, thoughts, and actions in alignment with what you want to create. So an example of that would be to stop and say, wow, instead of sending my thighs judgment for the extra cellulite or whatever, stop and give gratitude to my thighs for how they serve me. And take a look and say, how does this body part serve me? And beyond just how it looks or feels, and really be able to acknowledge and be grateful for what it does. And every time I do that, no matter what the body part is, I can always find something I'm grateful for. My thighs dance me through life. They stand me. They walk me. They run me. They bounce babies on my lap, what have you. You know, I can always find something to be grateful for any part of my body.
And why is it when we see a plump baby with really juicy thighs, all we can think about is how edible they are?
Yeah, I know. We go, oh, look at the cute, look at those big cheeks. Look at, you know, we think it's so cute. But as we grow older, we are not as always so enthusiastic. So I think it's really, really important that we work on loving ourselves as we are. And that doesn't mean that we can't move towards something that we'd be happier about. But we want to do so from a place of love, not from a place of lack and self-judgment, because we will likely sabotage ourselves if we are not loving ourselves through the process of personal improvement.
Yeah, I went through a thing the last couple of years. I've gained about 20 pounds as old menopause weight just came on and wouldn't go away. And at first it really bothered me, and I was just always like thinking, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go on a diet. And finally I decided to buy clothes that fit.
Yeah.
And then we're even slightly big. So I now, my problem is now is that I have all these clothes that are slightly too big and I'm always pulling them up.
Right,
so I
yeah.
sort of tricked my brain into thinking, oh, I'm not having any problems here. My clothes are too big.
Right. And, you know, it's a huge catch-22 because we don't want to talk ourselves into just accepting, you know, being unhealthy if we have a health issue going on. So, you know, if there's something that we need to do to enhance our health, so that we live longer and more joyfully and more actively and more comfortably, then we want to make sure that we're not just sabotaging ourselves into just going, oh, it's okay. You know, and that's not really what I'm talking about here. But we still, even if we're going to be doing something about it and about how we feel and about our health and our wellness, we still want to be doing that from a place of love. And, you know, it's really tricky business to find that fine line between loving ourselves the way we are and still working on improving if we need to. And I think one of the huge afflictions most of us in our society have is judging ourselves almost no matter what. I know super thin women who judge themselves. I know heavy women who judge themselves. I know women who you'd look at and you'd go, they're just perfect. They're stellar, you know, like magnificent, and they're still judging themselves. And so I think it's really important for us all to really just take a deep breath and relax a little bit. We've been brainwashed about body image. We need to start loving ourselves and having more compassion for the process so that we aren't beating ourselves up as we go.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I see this happen so often, you know, and finally I just decided, you know what, my body's working for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get to run, walk, jump, play, hike. You know, my husband thinks I look great just the way I am. I think he's a little nuts. But you know what? I've decided to trust his vision, not mine.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's an interesting thing. I think one of the things that we get caught into a trap of is comparing ourselves to other people. And then we always, and here's the irony of that, is that instead of comparing my hair, my face, my breasts, my thighs, my stomach, my whole entire body and my life to somebody else, I will, and what most of us do, is we compare what we think to be our worst part to their best part. It's like I will compare, for instance, someone with beautiful, perfect thighs, I will compare my thighs to theirs. Instead of, do you know what I mean? It's like I don't compare my whole body or my whole situation to somebody else. We tend to compare our worst with the best we can find, and that's not really fair. And we end up sabotaging ourselves by doing that. And so my invitation would be, certainly, first of all, not to compare yourselves to others and just work with who you want to be, how you want to be, and sort of playing the game against yourself, if you will, or on your side, if you will. But if you are going to compare yourself to others, compare your whole package. I actually had a really funny experience where I was swimming regularly, and I was in the dressing room, and I saw this girl who was thin and beautiful and fit, and I started comparing my worst features to her best features. And then she walked over and asked me what I did, and at the time I was a school teacher, and I told her, and she goes, oh, I'm so jealous of you. I always wanted to be a school teacher. And I had that moment of aha awakening that, you know, she was jealous of me, I was jealous of her, and how silly is this? You know, what if we all just really embraced who we are and how we are, worked toward improvement where we felt it was necessary, not where society or somebody else was telling us, and just enjoyed this journey, because we only get one time around in this particular body, on this particular personality, and really start loving ourselves through this process.
Mm. Do you have any daily practices you would recommend to the listeners?
I do. You know what? The one that I use for everything, I call it Five Essential Life Skills, and I use this for everything, including body image, is that is the first essential skill is to remember who you are. And I mean, I'm talking about your authentic, true essence. And if you don't know what that is, then I would suggest the first skill would be to invite that aspect of you to reveal itself to you. And if that still seems like too long of a shot, imagine who you are on the spirit level. Just imagine what that would be. What are the qualities? What essence would you adopt if you just could describe yourself as a spiritual being? And by that I mean I would be creative, compassionate, powerful, joyful, enthusiastic, energetic. I mean, you could go on and on and on listing the words that might describe what you want to embody as a soul essence. And then the second essential skill is to self-observe and notice. Notice what you're saying, what you're doing, and what you're thinking. Notice the stories you're making up. Notice whether what you're doing is in alignment with both who you are and what you're trying to create. So if you're trying to create healthy, harmonious, loving relationships, or you want to meet the man or the woman of your dreams or whatever, and that's the goal, be self-observant as you wander through your day. Is what you're saying, what you're doing, and what you're thinking in alignment with who you are and what you're trying to create? And I know that sounds really basic, Ariel, but what I've found is that people are often saying, I want a loving, harmonious relationship, or I want to accept myself the way I am, or I want to have higher self-esteem, or whatever the goal is. But when they self-observe and notice what they're saying, doing, and thinking, they're often doing, saying, and thinking exactly the opposite things to where they're trying to go. And so it's really important, in my opinion, in my experience actually, that we align what we're doing, saying, and thinking with what we're trying to create. So if we're trying to create more harmony in our bodies and more harmony with other people, we want to be self-observant and notice, is what I'm saying, doing, and thinking leading in the direction I'm trying to go? So that's the second essential life skill. And the third is, if what you're doing, saying, or thinking is not leading in the direction you want to go, you're undoubtedly operating from ego. So the third step is to transcend your ego or let go of the behavior that's sabotaging you or blocking you. And for me, that's always about taking a deep breath, bringing myself back into the present, realigning and reconnecting, which is number four, with who I really am and what I'm trying to create. And essential skill number five is to take steps in the direction I'm trying to go. So aligning my words, thoughts, and actions. So that sounds all very esoteric. It's remember who you are, self-observe, let go of who you're not or who you don't want to be or what's not serving you, drop back into your authenticity, and choose your words, thoughts, and actions in alignment from there. In practical application, it's just simply noticing or holding the knowing that what you want to do is love yourself and accept yourself just the way you are, whether you're planning to change it and move in a healthier direction, or if you're happy with the health and level you are now and you just want to start working on accepting yourself the way you are. So holding that knowing of your intention, then being self-observant as you journey through life, and when you start to say mean things to yourself or start to bombard yourself with self-doubt or self-criticism or start making up stories about what you think somebody else is thinking about you, stop and take a look and see if it's serving you. You see if what you're doing and saying and thinking is actually leading you toward what you're trying to create.
And it all sounds about being more compassionate towards yourself.
That's right. Being more compassionate and more intentional. Really just taking a moment and saying, wow, it's my ego that goes into the fear about this. It's my ego that goes into jealousy and comparison. It's my ego that goes into possessiveness. It's my ego that's beating me up. And remember that the ego is not the bad guy. The ego is trying to protect you. It's just completely unskilled at doing it. Mm. And so we want to stop and hear what the ego's trying to say, and then look underneath that for what's the protective message, and is there a healthier way to protect yourself? I'll give you a concrete example of that, in that I feel that, at least in my experience and lots of women I know, when weight is an issue, there's often a protection from sexuality that's going on. Sometimes there was abuse as a child. Sometimes it's just like overwhelm from the sexual attention that we get. And a lot of times that's an issue for women. So when I notice that I'm beating myself up for you know, being overweight or having an extra few pounds or whatever the issue may be, and stopping and taking a look and what's going on with me here. And then I hear my ego beating me up. Well, what's really underneath this? Wow, it wants me to be safe. It wants me to be protected. It wants me to be okay. And then I get to look and say, is the method I'm choosing to protect myself in my highest good? And as it relates to putting on extra weight, it sometimes is not in my highest good. And so then I get to look and say, how can I strategize to handle the sexual attention I get from a place that's in alignment with who I am and what I'm trying to create in the world, and still honor my preference to be healthier and stronger and more fit or whatever it is, if that's the case.
Mm. So tell us, Eve, what are you most excited about these days, and how can the listeners learn more about you?
Okay, right now what I'm most excited about is that I live on the beautiful island of Maui, and I have this gorgeous property here where I do personalized private retreats for individuals, couples, families, girlfriends, what have you. It could be business teams. And so people can come to Maui and work directly with me and Maui's best practitioners, whether it's a fitness and wellness or yoga retreat, or whether it's a relationship or marriage retreat, or whether it's just a personal growth journey and wanting to deepen your spiritual path, or an adventure journey where you want to get out on the land but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to wait and do it alone. You don't want to do it alone, or you don't want to wait till somebody can come with you. We will guide you on the process of your personal and spiritual growth, your relationship skills, your creativity, what have you. So sacredmauiretreats.com. Sacred Maui Retreats has all kinds of information about it, and it's just super, super wonderful experience.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you were able to join us for this. It's really been life-affirming. So thank you. It was great talking with
you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Okay. And Lauren, hi.
Hi.
Hi. So we're going
to...
What's that?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem.
I think I fixed the feedback. Hi.
Thank you. Hi. Hi. So Eve did a great job of covering body image and learning to love ourselves and the body that we have. And now we've got to take these bodies and get them dressed and looking hot and ready for dating. So let's just have you jump in here and share with us, how do we be authentically ourselves and look hot?
Okay, this is such a great topic, and thank you so much for having me as part of the conversation. And, you know, I just really want to welcome anybody that's on the call to send in questions, because I know that we're going to be doing that as well as part of this call, and asking specific questions about your body type and things that you can do to up-level your, what I call your romantic archetype and your romantic persona. And it's really interesting because I was actually watching a documentary last night that's on HBO. And I shared with this with you earlier. It was all about supermodels, and Paulina Porizkova, who's this gorgeous, she's 45 years old, said that she never felt beautiful, and that was super sad to me. And there are so many women that are perfect size twos that don't actually feel great about their body. So loving your body is really not about what size you are. It's really about your attitude about your body. And it's about self-love, and it's about a kind of confidence. And this is the truth, is that confidence is really sexy. And if a woman is not confident about her body and doesn't want to get naked, like, for example, if you have not dated in a while, right,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking about going out into the field, one of the things that's the most frightening for women is the idea of getting naked, taking their clothes off. So it's not actually even as much as what you're putting on your bod. It's what happens when the clothes come off, which is very interesting. So, you know, there's like three parts. One is the mental, and one is the second part is the physical, your relationship to your actual naked self, and really what you're comfortable projecting into the world in terms of what I call your romantic identity. And a lot of women are basically, I do something called the Man Magnet Makeover, where, you know, I take women and I, you know, as a love coach, I work on, you know, the inner game about how to create love and attraction with men. And specifically for online dating, I started working with the physical, with private clients, and then with groups about how to get a romantic exterior that really is expressive of your life stage right now and also expresses your romantic intention. So Can I share a little bit about how to go
please.
About doing that? I'm going to give you like
everything.
I'm going to give you stuff to do. Okay. So one of the first things that I do with women is that I ask them to really think about if you were if you could look like anybody, if there was any brand of femininity or sexuality that you could kind of morph into your own persona and your own physical exterior, who would that be?
I would want to be Penelope Cruz.
Well, I could totally see that. You have this kind of warm, kind of yummy sexuality and sensuality to you, and you've got that dark, beautiful brunette hair, and that would be something that could be easily done. So, you know, like you know, Johnny Depp or Meryl Streep, when they prepare for a role, one of the things that they do is they find, like, a perfect pair of glasses or the perfect hat or the perfect ring, and that becomes kind of like a romantic totem that becomes like a power piece that allows them to kind of slip into another character, because the truth is that a lot of women and men, but we're talking about women right now, suffer from a kind of nervousness or shyness when they're actually out in the field. And sometimes, you know, as you were discussing before, sometimes women have gotten a lot of messaging that it's not okay to be their fully expressed romantic selves. And often when I work with women, they're wearing a haircut and they're wearing clothing that they felt sexy. And the last time that they felt sexy is what their romantic package looks like. So a lot of women still look like they're in college. A lot of women really have haircuts that, you know, are stuck in the 90s. So some very quick things to do are to think of somebody that you find really sexy. I call this romantic icon integration. And for you, it's Penelope Cruz. So if you had to say what you found sexy, Ariel, about Penelope Cruz, what is it? I mean, obviously she's physically beautiful.
Yeah,
right?
I would say there's a warmth in her eyes. And of course she has beautiful hair. And and so there's not an overt sexiness to her, because it's not really about her clothes so much. There's just sort of a welcoming presence about her.
And she's got a big smile.
Big smile, yeah.
A huge big smile. And there is a kind of romantic style that she has. She's got a very feminine way of dressing.
Mm-hmm.
When you see her in, you know, magazines and tabloids. So the that kind of warmth, right, that kind of, you know, she's got a lot of emotional generosity.
I like that.
Right? She's like
the
sun. She's very sunny, right? She exudes this kind of warmth and feminine sexuality. So what I would probably do is I would probably suggest that we shop for some clothing that looks kind of reminiscent to Penelope. You know, things that are a little off the shoulder and a little more kind of tight at the bodice and kind of flowy, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you are out with your husband, right, because you're married,
right,
I would have you practice on smiling, really smiling, because she's got this big open smile, and she does a lot of leaning forward and into men. There's a great, if you've seen Nine, which is a very sexy movie, it's very interesting. Those are very different romantic archetypes of women that all love this one man.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's sexy, but they're all expressed in a very different way. But I would really have you kind of visualize it like sunshine was literally pouring out of your eyes and your smile and bathing the men that were in your presence. That's like a little visualization technique. And what happens is if you get a piece of jewelry or a piece of clothing that makes you feel like Penelope, right, and you're in, let's say, scarlet, right, which might make you feel more Latin,
right,
and you smile forward to men, then what will happen is that'll give you enough edge to stop thinking about yourself. You know, you'll stop thinking, oh, I'm just a secretary, or, oh, I just have this kind of like regular little life. And all of a sudden, you will actually expand into something that's a little bit larger than yourself, and it will free you up to be more romantic and more, you know, it will give you a kind of magnetic it factor that you might not feel on your own.
I really like that. So what other things besides, let's say, glasses or jewelry or clothes would be a romantic totem or other things that you've used with your clients?
Well, one of my clients was a Fortune 500, runs a Fortune 500 company, and her romantic icon, believe it or not, was Catherine the Great. And we basically cut her hair and gave her big ruffled collars and big power rings. And she is now married to her former assistant. So it just kind of really empowered her. And she kind of really looked more like a soccer mom when we started working together. So, and my romantic icon is Scarlett O'Hara. You know, that scene of her at 12 Oaks with all of the men eating out of her hand really was what inspired me when I was 12 years old to really kind of study, you know, how to be a man magnet. And I was sitting there with octagonal glasses and braces with popcorn, you know, if you can, and I was a little overweight, so there's a vision for you. And, you know, she was flirting with all of these men, and she had these very tight corset and the big bosom and, you know, just like this very charming, you know, really she was flirtatiously multitasking. She didn't get romantic tunnel vision, which, you know, I really talk about how to flirt like a man magnet. So part of being comfortable and, you know, magnetically drawing attention is feeling good about your bod and also kind of up-leveling what you're putting on your bod and then also what you're doing with your bod, how to kind of signal your romantic availability and your romantic intention through the way that you move and through, you know, gestures that really are like subconscious cues to men and that they will definitely pick up on.
Say more about that.
Well, I think that, you know, in terms of being, in terms of flirting in your physical space, I think that most women are dating like they're, you know, sleeping, what I call sleeping beauties in a coma. And, you know, we really have been trained to believe that if men like us, they will actually gallop up and rescue us from a life of intense romantic boredom. And, you know, like Sleeping Beauty pricked her finger on a spindle and went into a coma, and Sleeping Beauty and Snow White bit an apple and went into a coma. And, you know, in fairy stories, really, girls just are constantly going into comas and looking fantastic while they're sleeping, and then men just kind of stumble over them. So the message really is that women are not supposed to be energetically proactive about creating attraction. And instead, we're supposed to actually be contracted energetically and even unconscious if we follow the romantic coaching that we got from the Brothers Grimm, right? And that the right guy should have enough balls to kind of ask us out. Well, the truth is that if you look at yourself in the mirror, ladies, is there any reason why anybody would ever think that you're actually single? No, probably not. You probably look like you've got a job, a career, a life, and that you're already off the market and taken. So one of the things that I suggest, which will up the odds for your romantic success by 150%, I am so not kidding, is if you learn how to toss men a crumb or give them a compliment. And it's really interesting. Everybody responds to being flattered. Everybody responds to positive attention. And the best way to do this is to look at something a man is wearing or doing. We all know that men love gizmos and gadgets, right? So right. The best thing that you can do is if you see a handsome man and he crosses your path, all you have to do is look at something he's wearing or doing, like his sports watch, and go, nice watch. I was actually in the elevator last night with Mark Cuban.
Oh, really?
And yes.
I love him.
He's so handsome. And I was actually, he was in the elevator before me, and I kind of like started running, and he said, you didn't have to run. I would have held it for you. And I said, you're a gentleman. And he smiled, and I said, nice sneakers. And he said, thank you. And then I realized who he was, and we had this kind of sweet little interchange. But no matter who the person is, no matter how powerful, successful, handsome, or unattractive, if you approve of them, if you compliment something they're wearing or doing, it will signal that you're available to be spoken to, right? You will have already broken the fourth wall. And then they, if they're interested, will definitely hop a little closer and chirp right back to you and say, gosh, you're pretty, or wow, I love that bag. It also might mean that they might be gay. So, you know, it's not a true test. So energetically, you want to be like a welcoming. You know, you want to be the welcoming committee. You want to be open for conversation and for engagement. And the second thing that I suggest you do after you compliment something a man's wearing or doing, and what's going to happen is if you learn how to do this, it breaks your own social anxiety, right? And a lot of women are really shy, even if they're super beautiful. So if beauty really solved the problem, then that would be awesome. But it doesn't actually. It helps a part of, you know, it does. And also what I do want to acknowledge is if you're online dating, for example, I will tell you the truth, which is that if you don't have a really arresting photo, if you don't have a photo that men stop and look at, 95% of online dating is really in the original, in the initial photo and the photos. So that is really like catalog shopping. And if you have like a crappy photo of the car, let's say, then you're not going to get as many bites. So you definitely want to learn. Every single woman who is interested in really creating romance online, and I really believe offline, really wants to learn how to show themselves off to their best romantic advantage. And so there are, you know, I've talked about 19 topics already.
No, but this is a really important one. For those who can't go shopping with you, you know, tell them what to do.
Yeah, so the thing is that, you know, just like there's physical flirt tips like tossing them in a crumb and, you know, body mirroring is another good thing. So, you know, if you're looking at them and you just kind of mirror their body positioning and also their vocal parrot, you know, I'd call it vocal parroting. They're, you know, if they're talking in a really excited way, you kind of want to mirror their energy level. All that stuff makes a man feel like he's in sync with you and that you're not crowding his space. So that energetically will get you attuned, and that will be very exciting to men energetically. But in terms of the physicality, if you're dating online, You really want to create what I call the right bait to attract the right mate. And so I do want to acknowledge that if you feel like you need a makeover, you probably do, and it's okay to get one. And in fact, no celebrity would ever go to an award show without a stylist. You know, they've got a SWAT team of beauty professionals that help them. And so I think that it's really important to you know, give yourself the time and the space to really put some attention on the physical. And you want to have, it's very interesting, I have a lot of gals that come to me, and they're beautiful. And they're even successful, and they're even gals that go shopping regularly. But they haven't really spent the time to kind of really get clear about what their romantic life, I always say everyone's a romantic lifestyle brand, whether they know it or not. So if you look again at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, what if somebody just is looking at me from the outside, what is my romantic lifestyle brand saying? Is it screaming, I'm a soccer mom? Or is it screaming, I just don't really pay attention to my physical, right? I actually have one of the most famous women in the world in fashion is my client, and I literally, she's like, she has really determined what more of you are wearing than anybody that I can think of other than Anna Wintour in America. And I actually gave her a makeover, and she said, really, you're going to give me a makeover? And I was like, yeah, really, I am. And I went through her closet, and everything was two sizes too big, and everything was black. Everything was black.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, so one of the things that you want to do is that I'm going to give you some clothing tips. How about that? I'm going to start
That's
with clothing
great.
Tips, and then I'll talk with about – I have so much information in such a short period of time. I'm so excited. Okay. So – just in terms of, you know, your wardrobe, we're not going to even talk about photos. You want clothing that actually flatters the body that you have now, not the body that you had when you were really, you know, in college and might have been 20 pounds thinner, right? Or even 20 pounds heavier, right? So you want to look at yourself and you want to go, okay, does my clothing actually fit? That's half of the battle. And one of the ways to look like you've lost 10 pounds to 20 pounds, I'm so not kidding. Is everybody paying attention? I think I've got your attention. Okay. I want you to make sure that if you actually are busty, or let's say if you're bigger than a size, if you're a size C and beyond, you want to make sure that all of the elastic straps to your bras are really tight. And if they've stretched out, right, my bras, I'm a D, okay? I buy very expensive lingerie, and I take it to the tailors when the straps have any kind of give in them, and I have them alter the straps. And taking up your bra straps will completely change the shape of your bod, right? So that's definitely rule number one, is you definitely want to have enough support around the bust. And
I never thought about it. I never thought of replacing the straps on a bra.
Right. Well, and you don't even have to replace them. Just take them and get them tailored. Get them altered. It's like a $5 alteration, and you can save a $200 bra.
Wow.
Right? So that's definitely something that you want to do. And the next thing that you want to do is you want to look at, you know, In Style magazine is a good go-to magazine, and you want to see what people are actually wearing. And I'm really not a, you know, I'm not like a this season, the new color is, everybody's wearing tangerine right now, right?
Right.
I'm not so into that. What I'm interested in is finding a look for you that is romantic. So this is going to go back to your romantic archetype, and I'm really talking right now about a dating wardrobe. And I do suggest that if you are interested in starting to actively date, that you put together a dating wardrobe. In my magnet makeover, what we do is we actually do a shopping where you get a first date, second date, and third date look and clothing for the photo shoot. And you want to make sure that you have in your arsenal, you want a glamorous look so that that you could go to a kind of fabulous event at. And there are some really low-cost places that you can shop. Like ABS does really good knockoffs of very expensive gowns. You want a really kind of flattering cocktail dress, and then you want a really great casual look. And you want to get often colors that are really vibrant. I always say that, you know, in online dating, I'm going to go back to the photos, you really want your profile picture and every photo that you take online, you want to be looking directly at the camera and you want to be smiling in every single photo. No dramatic poses with your face, right? And no kind of, longing kind of looks, you know, where you're not really smiling. Because what happens is men really interpret a woman who's not smiling, and you leave it to his imagination. So really, like going back to Penelope Cruz, who exudes this kind of warmth, you want to be somebody who's like looking right at him and smiling in every photo. And you also, this is just a total aside, is that you don't want to have other women in your photos, because he can look at that other woman. And I've had women tell me that they've been written to men who said, "Oh, who's your girlfriend?" You don't want that.
I just want to say one thing here, because it's so funny. When I was doing PR for authors, and of course every author always wanted to be on Oprah, we used to go shopping so they would have two Oprah outfits in their closet, anticipating at some point that, you know, because sometimes the Oprah show would call the day before and say, we're sending you a ticket, you're flying out tonight, we need you on the show tomorrow. So there was no time to shop. So we always
great.
So I wasn't doing it for dating. I was like, okay, what's your biggest media dream? And so I always have, you know, the Today Show wardrobe ready in my closet. But
awesome.
I wish I would have known you 15 years ago, because I certainly didn't have the clothes ready.
Well, this is like the Tonight Show wardrobe, right? You want to be ready so that you've got stuff ready to go. And sometimes it's nerve-wracking enough to go on a really hot date. You just don't want to be stressing about what you're wearing. So in your photos, the first photo, I always say you want to kind of get a version of red or pink or orange, something that really leaps out off the page. There's a reason why red cars get stopped more by policemen. It's because they can see them better. So, you know, and online dating is like a giant man catalog in the sky. So what you want to do is when they're sitting there eating a bagel on Saturday morning and scratching their with their dog snoring at their feet, you want them to, as they're scrolling through, stumble upon you and click on your profile, right? And that's all going to come from your initial headshot. And the initial headshot always also should have a neckline where it shows a little bit of your décolletage, but not too much. And I always say, really, the best sized photos are from the nipples up, right? And you want to have it kind of be tight, not too much over your head, and kind of like tight enough so that they can actually really see you. And I'm going to talk about hair and makeup now for a second.
Go for it.
What I really suggest that you do is get a picture of your romantic icon. Then go, okay, what parts of her wardrobe, and you can put together a little lookbook of her best looks. So Jackie O is somebody that comes up all the time. I actually have another client who is doing my upcoming event, and her romantic icon was Jacqueline Bisset. No. Mm-hmm. Who was the gal from Charlie's Angels?
Yeah, there was Farrah Fawcett and Jacqueline Bisset, and somebody else.
No, it's not Jacqueline Bisset. It's another. It's a different Jacqueline.
Oh. Okay,
Jacqueline
well,
Smith.
Jacqueline
Smith. The amazing
Smith.
Jacqueline
there you go.
Smith, who is still like a complete rock star knockout beauty. Now,
yeah.
What's really interesting about Jacqueline Smith is her look is actually quite preppy. She is not overtly sexy in her wardrobe, but she's got that hairdo. She's got that crazy hairdo. And she still has it. She hasn't changed her hairdo. So she's still stuck in Charlie's Angels, but we don't mind it because it's such a signature look for her. And she's got a kind of elegance and a kind of femininity that's not that's very classy, right? She's not leading with her breast. She's really leading with her hair. So, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to find some images of your romantic icon and integrate it into your wardrobe, right? And look at hairstyle. And you can even go to a salon and pull some images and say, okay, I really want to, this haircut that I'm wearing, really, this style I started doing about 15, 20 years ago, how could I create a more modern hairdo? Honestly, getting a modern haircut is the fastest way to update your look. And it will make you look years younger. The second tip I'm going to give you is to get your teeth whitened. I am so not kidding. Everybody that gets their teeth whitened looks at least 10 years younger. And you can get Crest white strips that do a fantastic job. If you can't get Zoom teeth bleach, you know, at the dentist's office, but this literally is a cosmetic thing that is worth every penny, and I always suggest that I do it before any photo shoot that we do with our magnets. So that's tip number two. And tip number three is if you're doing online photos at home, I want you to go to the MAC store. I actually love MAC makeup. And if you don't have MAC, M-A-C, makeup in your area, go to the local department store. That could be a Bloomingdale's or a Nordstrom's or department store has a makeup counter, and actually ask them to do your makeup. And you can say to them, "I am doing photographs for online dating, and I would love to have you do my makeup." And sometimes you can book a session and pay them $50 to just really do a full makeup. And sometimes they will just do it because they want to, you know, you can say, and I want to definitely redo my colors and buy some products. Sometimes they'll just do it for the, opportunity.
You know, I've
really
done that lots of times, especially when I'm in New York to do TV and I've got to
yes.
have good makeup. I'll just walk into Saks Fifth Avenue and go to the Chanel counter and tell them, listen, can I be the first one in tomorrow? And I end up buying stuff because it's stuff I need anyway because I hardly ever wear makeup. And they never charge me. They just want you to buy a little bit of makeup.
That is fantastic. So that's exactly the right thing to do. And, when you call and make an appointment like Arielle is saying. And when you go in, tell them that the photos are for online dating so that you want the look to be photo-friendly. And, you know, you want enough makeup on your face. Honestly, you need a little bit of more makeup on your face when you're taking photos than just kind of for normal day wear. It's always good to get a lip that looks a little bit natural, you know, where I don't suggest wearing red for photographs. You want to get something that's kind of more peachy or pinky so that it looks a little more natural. And this is the secret, though, for photos and for any TV appearances, if anybody of you out there are doing TV appearances, is you want to always make sure that they put on false eyelashes. And here's the thing about false eyelashes. You might think that it looks like a lot, but in photographs, it doesn't. No one will think, oh, she's wearing false eyelashes. It just opens up your eye. So a little bit of eyeliner and false eyelashes is a must. And, those three tips. And then also making sure that your hair, you know, if you can get a professional blowout just for before the photo shoot, and that could even be the day before or that morning. So the preferred kind of schedule for this would be get a blowout in the morning. And if your hair is curly, have them blow it out and then curl it for you so you still look like yourself. And then go and get your makeup done at the makeup counter. And then go out with your girlfriend and have her take photographs of you. And you want to make sure that when you do your photos, that there's always a lot of light on your face, and that's why like the flat. It's amazing. Some of the best photographs really come from people's Blackberries, you know, or iPhones, where there's that like great flash,
mm-hmm.
right? It just kind of like youths you right up. If you do too much of it, though, you can really kind of wind up looking 20 years younger than you are. So the last thing I'm going to say about the online photos is that you want to make sure that you have several different looks, and you can actually go to my website, and Ariel's going to give you that information, and look at my Man Magnet Makeover information, and if you can't come and actually be with me, I have programs that you can do that will teach you exactly how to do it, but you can also read what I provide, and then just copy it, you know, what the glam looks like, and you'll see photographs of gals that have worked with me
and
on that
Lauren,
site.
You don't know this about me, but I worked as a professional photographer long
time
ago.
Are you kidding?
No, and I actually have, my photos have appeared in People magazine and the New York Shut Times
up.
And Cosmopolitan magazine.
She's amazing, ladies. The more I know about her,
really,
she's like,
here's
literally.
The best photos happen 45 minutes before sunset in what is known as magic hour.
Yes.
When the light turns pink. Everybody looks beautiful before sunset. And you don't actually have to be at the beach, but it's called magic hour. So definitely have some photos done late in the day.
And
don't
outside.
Ever stand in direct sunlight. When the sun is overhead, it's even too harsh for a 15-year-old. So you don't want to be in direct sunlight. You want to have really pretty lighting. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Lauren, is share with us how people can up-level their sensual confidence.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. I do think that if you're, well, that's like a three-part question because there's
okay.
a couple of reasons.
We got time. You can do it all.
Awesome. Okay, there's a couple of reasons why women don't feel confident in their sensual selves. The first is that they don't feel comfortable with their weight or their body. So that's the very first thing. And or they never felt beautiful. And I work with a lot of women who just never felt beautiful. They never got messaging when they were young that they were beautiful. They never were told by their fathers that they were beautiful. And this really hurts a woman's sense of romantic self-esteem. And sometimes women are in relationships with men that never give them that kind of acknowledgement, you know. And I think that that's profoundly hurtful. And no matter who the woman is, you know, everybody wants to feel that they're beautiful and that they're seen as beautiful, certainly by the man, you know, that she fought, you know, that is her, that she's the beloved too, right? And so I'm going to talk about weight first because I do feel like, and it's really interesting, when I work with women, one of the side effects is people like all of a sudden magically lose 10 to 30 pounds. It's really shocking. And when I do makeovers on women, the weight starts to roll off of them because they start feeling better about themselves. They stop comforting themselves with food. So when you kind of romantically restart or reboot your love life and really give yourself the opportunity, which you've done just from listening to this entire amazing series that Ariel produced, you're going to have so many strategies, right? You have an arsenal in your back pocket about how to kind of restart your love life. And I really do think that putting some attention on creating this romantic persona, it's something that really kind of does get short shrift. And I don't think that that's, I think that there's, it's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, I work with women a lot on creating a vision of love and really making a stand for love and creating a profound romantic intention. And that's really kind of goal setting about what you want to create. And then there's another kind of visioning about who you want to be in relationships. And that's really important. You know, what is the, you know, because sometimes women have been in relationships and they have not felt great. It didn't really make them feel sexy or fabulous, and they kind of felt like a workhorse or kind of taken advantage of energetically, or that their sexuality was kind of not really valued or dismissed even, and not honored. So part of the reason why I do this romantic icon integration work and I do the physical stuff. I think it's really important to do the physical stuff because it's kind of like creating a holograph, right? You're creating a new vision of yourself, not only on the inside, but also on the outside. And creating this kind of new look on the outside is actually going to make you feel different. And it's interesting because sometimes, you know, I'm definitely a how-to teacher, and I often have people tell me, you know, that they don't feel ready to do certain things. And I always say, well, you're never going to feel ready to do certain things. You know, nobody ever feels ready to date online, right? Nobody ever feels ready to kind of break the fourth wall and say nice tie. But if you really make a decision to take positive active change, what will happen is your self-esteem will come on the back end. You know, if you change your behavior, then what will happen is you will start getting different romantic results, and your self-esteem is going to get built because you're doing something different, and then you're going to start getting different feedback. And women who have never felt beautiful and never felt confident, once they've done this romantic kind of exterior makeover, and once they learn how to put that together with flirt tips, start behaving like a different kind of romantic and sensual animal. And men start really reacting to them in a profoundly different way. And that, you know, it can be a little scary sometimes, but if you're committed to creating a different kind of life for yourself, if you're committed to creating a different kind of, you know, romantic result, we'll say, then what's going to happen is you'll get through that place of feeling nervous, and you will wind up gaining self-esteem and gaining strength.
And
part
I want to add
strength.
Something to what you're saying here because it is so important. And I think what we need to have people do is reinterpret the feelings of fear into excitement and anticipation.
Definitely.
Right? Because, of course, fear is going to come up. You know, oh, am I going to be rejected? And can I do this? And, you know, who am I now to try and be sexy at a particular age? But don't let that stop you. You know, take that feeling of fear and make up a new story about it. Oh, this feeling means that I'm excited. I'm going to try something new, that I'm creating space for myself to really manifest the kind of love that I say that I want.
Absolutely. And this is really, it's, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. And fear is a natural feeling, that it's a natural feeling when you're outside of your comfort zone. So that just means that you've taken a step into the unknown, which is excellent because that's where your, you know, love bird is. He's out there, and you need to kind of move into that energetic space so that you can kind of connect with him. And also, there is a kind of excitement and there is a kind of nervousness. And I will tell you that men, you know, if you move into this space and if you do get shy, men actually find women getting nervous and blushing adorable. So if you do get a little shy, you can always say, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm in high school, pitter-pat.
Mm-hmm.
I once had a man kiss me and I started to hyperventilate and I said, oh my God, I'm going to have to call the paramedics. You're going to have to stop, back up. And he found that hilarious. So, and very sexy. So, you know, the thing is that getting confidence, right, what does it mean to get confidence? Well, it means that you have actually done something enough that you actually feel confident in doing it. So if you feel a little awkward, I always get everybody into high heels. You know, there are some things, there's some articles of clothing that are just man-friendly, and high heels are one of those.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I can't walk in high heels. I'm usually barefoot.
So here's a great thing. If you can't walk in high heels, the way around that is to get a really great platform that's got, and an espadrille is a fantastic version of that, although you have to make sure that you don't fall out of your espadrille. I've got a super high arch, so if you've got high arches, you've got to make sure that, you know, you're really strapped into that puppy. Most women who don't feel comfortable in high heels, although this is not the case for you, Ariel, because we had this conversation, most women who are flat-footed have a hard time in heels. However, what I will tell you is that it is definitely one of those signals to men that, you know, it's on. And obviously, showing some décolletage, having something that's a little low-cut, is definitely man-friendly, and it doesn't have to be too low-cut, but I'll tell you, it's definitely not going to hurt if you're flirting in the field, you know, to kind of do something that's a little more low cut. And so I can't really undersell the value of having a really man-friendly perfume. And here's the thing, there's been research done.
How do you define a man-friendly perfume?
Okay, well, there are statistics that really show that men prefer food-based scents, vanilla scents in particular. It makes you smell like your cookies. And this is actually not a pitch for my perfume, but I do have a perfume called Man Trap Perfume, which is really mantastic. And I actually put it on. I went on tour with Victoria's Secret. They said, you should do a perfume and call it Man Trap because I write about being a man trap in my book. And I put that away. And then one day I put on this perfume, this oil that my girlfriend made. I had kind of given her free coaching for some bath and body oils because she couldn't afford me. And I was just like, don't break up with your boyfriend. Come and let me coach you. So she gave me this vanilla oil, and I put it on. And literally, the valet Parker at the Four Seasons tried to climb into the car with me. And Jonathan Hammond really chatted me up, who's like completely, completely a heartthrob too. And so this scent is so crazily man-friendly, but it's a really yummy vanilla-based scent. Floral scents can sometimes really be a turnoff. So if you're wearing something that's not a vanilla-based scent, I would actually just wear everything else kind of, it would be gentle with your application of it.
Well, you know, I was just at a conference up in Whistler, and in the hotel room was a body lotion that was very rose-centric,
mm-hmm.
which I loved, and I slathered myself in it, and then I went to the workshop, and it was a hugging exercise with 105 people. And 17 men said I was the best-smelling woman in the room.
There we go. Well, and, you know, men are very stimulated they're stimulated visually, and they're stimulated, you know, by their olfactory glands. And so anything, you know, you want something that, I always say about my perfume, it does the flirting for you, but, like, that rose lotion did the flirting for you, right? They just kind of, you know, it made you luscious.
It was delicious, so I'll have to have more of that. So what other flavors or scents should women be wearing for men?
Well, I think that really it's vanilla. Like
vanilla is it, right?
Yeah, it's like I think that it's north of 75% of men really dramatically prefer it, and they can get like put off by floral. So it's just like a hit or miss. So the thing is it's stuff. It's true about hairstyles too. Most men prefer long hair. So there are scents, and there's a kind of dressing, and there's a kind of hairstyle that is very girl-friendly. So your girlfriends might love it, but you want to make sure it's man-friendly. And dressing for men, you know, creating scents that are man-tastic, having a haircut that's man-friendly, having makeup that's man-friendly, that is it's really dressing for success. It's like if you were going to a job interview, you would want to make sure that you were wearing shoes that weren't scuffed and, you know, looked professional and were looking the part. So this is what I want to encourage you to do, ladies. I want you to be confident. I want men to love you for you, because this is really usually, like, sometimes I get pushed back and they're like, well, if he doesn't love me for me, then, you know, screw him. Well, the truth is I wrote this, there was this really funny billboard. I think that they were advertising some show, and it said something like 90% of marriages wind up in sweats. And there is, now, unfortunately, there's a massive, divorce rate in our country, too. So, you know, I don't know, what is the statistic about divorce? Is it 50%?
Well, for first marriages, it's 50%. For second marriages, it's 64%. And for third marriages, it's 72%. So,
holy moly.
It's not good.
So this is what I want to tell you. Don't contribute to that statistic by devolving your romantic self and just winding up in sweats, because one of the things that happens is women and men both get really lazy about their physical, you know, keeping up the romantic persona. And, you know, a lot of women say, you know, oh, the marriage stopped being sexy. Well, you know, when was the last time you wore lingerie? When was the last time you really dressed up for your man? When was the last time... You know, dating, the reason why dating is so awesome and exciting, and even married people are curious about the dating lives of their single friends and think about dating and their dating time with their husband or their spouse fondly, is because dating is making an appointment for romance. That's really what it is. And if you remember how much care and time and attention you really put into the grooming and the preparation for dates, you know, that's the thing that definitely gets lost in romance and in long-term relationships. So I think it's a point of I think it's kind of like a manhandling maneuver that you kind of do want to kind of keep in place throughout your relationship. And, you know, men are visual, and it's, you know, it is, and just like women are, like nobody wants a husband that's got a massive beer gut and doesn't floss and has yellow teeth and needs a haircut, right?
Right.
And doesn't smell good. And so I'm not going to, I can't tell you that it doesn't matter what you look like and that men are going to just love you anyway. Maybe there's a man who will love you anyway, but it doesn't mean that he's the man that you're going to want. So what I really want you to do, I know I'm saying something that's so not, you know, spiritual woo-woo and PC, but I actually want you to find your beloved. Did I just get in trouble with you, Ariel, for saying this?
No, not at all, because I'm in total agreement with everything that you're saying.
Awesome.
I mean, certainly when I was manifesting Brian, I had a wardrobe full of cute clothes, and I wore dresses all the time. In fact, I remember I had this one red dress that was Brian's favorite, and he used to say, oh, whenever you'd pick me up in the airport, you'd be in that red dress. Of course, I outgrew the red dress. I don't have it anymore. But sometimes he remembers, you know, he goes, oh, that looks like the red dress you used to have.
Oh.
You know, so it certainly made a difference to him.
Yeah, and he got triggered. You should definitely always have a red dress that looked like that red dress and pull it out on your anniversary.
Go shopping.
Yeah, on your anniversary. Yep.
I wanted to ask you, you said you have a formula to capture the attention of high-quality men. What is that for?
Well, there's many ways to do that. I think that for the purpose of this phone call, mm-hmm. you know, the online dating forum, should we talk about, you know,
sure.
In online dating, so you want to have these photos done in a way where it's going to show you off to your best romantic advantage, like we talked about. And in terms of the way that you write your profile, you know, I've got, you know, Cyber Flirt Secrets that really talk about how to create a visual picture. And I always think that the best profiles are things that leap off the page because men can actually see you and visualize you moving about the activities of your day. And, I'll have women say, you'll find me wearing red stilettos while making a chicken marsala, whipping up a chicken marsala for dinner. Wow, that's like a really powerful visual image.
Yeah,
you can actually smell, you know, you can smell, they'll start salivating just like visually and, you know, just in terms of their sense memory of thinking about chicken marsala. Oh, and then the fact that she's making it, she's actually cooking,
right.
Which most women don't think is of real value. But honestly, men still, you know, men love a woman that can, like, you know, heat things up both in the bedroom and in the kitchen, trust me. So you want to really kind of paint visual pictures for men that they can then kind of fall into and start fantasizing and dreaming about who you are. And these lists of, you know, words, aren't very stimulating to men. So, you know, I am saying I am happy, passionate, fun-loving, a homebody. You know, that just puts men into a coma. That's like a long, long laundry list. It would be better to say I love curling up on a winter's day in front of the fireplace with a beautiful Merlot and marshmallows.
Mm.
That's like a whole experience. So you want to really learn how to give men an experience. And you also don't want to put negative things in your online profile. So one of the things that happens, really, I teach women how to, you know, date like an international spy and read between the lines of men's profiles. And there's a real art to email interpretation and also communication, because you want to learn how to it's very confusing for women. If you're back in the field, right, most women are flirting, you know, with a rule book that was written in a completely different time, you know, and basically the rule book that we were raised with has literally gotten tossed right out the window or been completely rewritten. Men are not functioning by the rules anymore. It's a different, you know, it's a different day and it's a different time. And so what you want to learn how to do is you want to learn how to flirt effectively and proactively for the time that we're in. And that includes texting, emailing, online dating, you know, to text or not to text. That is the question. And
well, what would you say? Texting is yay or nay?
Well, I think that you can't not text anymore. I think it's part of the culture. And it's just, there's so much information to cover about this. You know, there's a lot of safety rules. You know, I really focus on safety rules about online dating. So one of the things I really suggest is if you don't know him, if you're online, you definitely should use a nickname. And you should never put in your profile any places that you actually go. Like, you don't want to say that you go to, Tad's Steakhouse on 14th Street or local hotspots. You'll find me on Friday night at, you know, the bar on the beach. You know, you want to definitely protect your anonymity and your identity. And you definitely don't want to use your real name in any part of your profile. And even when you're communicating with men, you definitely want to use a nickname, and you want to get their phone number first. So in an email volley, you know, you can say perhaps a virtual date on the phone would be a fun next step. If you send me your number and the best times to ring, I will. And then when you call men, press *67, which will block your number so he can't see you, and then dial his phone number afterwards with the area code, and then it will actually shield.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, it's a really important safety tip.
Really good tips, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you. And there is software which will allow men to kind of decode that too. So not everybody that you're going to be calling will actually be unable to see your phone number, but it's very easy right now to take your phone number and put it into Google and get all of your information. Men can now put your photo into Google and find out your identity. So, so there's a lot of cyber flirt secrets that, you know, that you should know. Do you have any questions from any of the callers?
Yes, let's see. And if anybody, if you're on the web, you can type in a question and send it to us. So, Joe from Australia says, hello and thank you. What will it take for me to shine on the inside? I have rashes on my face and neck from stress, and I've gained a few kilos. I adore clothes.
So if you've got rashes on your neck and face because of stress and you've gained weight and you want to shine on the inside, obviously, sweetie, it sounds like you're stressed, like there's something that's causing you a lot of stress. So I really encourage you to resolve what's creating that agitation. You know, and this is where sometimes working with a therapist or a coach is really helpful to kind of get to the bottom of what might be emotionally kind of triggering you and short-circuiting your ability to create love and attraction. Because if you are a stress ball and if you're stressed enough that it's like physically manifesting, men will definitely feel that as well. So, you know, I would not try to, I just don't think that makeup kind of resolves that issue. And and this is why, you know, they're gorgeous size twos, women who look great on the outside, but men back away from because their energy is really upset and really agitated. And this is what Ariel was saying at the beginning of the call, is that there are women who are size 14s who are madly in love and, you know, their husbands or boyfriends just kind of cannot wait to rip their clothes off, and it's because they feel settled within themselves. They exude a kind of confidence.
And the other, I totally agree with you. I think finding a therapist or a coach would be a good idea. Also, tapping really helps reduce stress. If you could,
oh, nice.
You know, we had Nick Ortner in the series talking about EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping. You really want to get the stress under control. And all kinds of people get rashes and stress. I'm a fan of watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which, you know, Joe, you may not have that show in Australia, but it's this crazy family. They're very famous. And Kim Kardashian actually suffers with rashes and skin conditions. There was a whole episode about how she had to have special drugs and stuff to cover up her rashes because she had a photo shoot. So, you know, it does come up. We live in a very stressful world at a stressful time. So, yeah, you really do need to treat the symptoms and the causes of stress.
And sometimes it's allergies. Sometimes it can be a food allergy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, so, you know, but you can also go to a dermatologist, which I'm sure that you've already done. It sounds like, Joe, that you, you know, that you're, you know, that you're emotionally stressed and it's manifesting. And I'm going to put a plug out right now for Weight Watchers. You know, I think that Weight Watchers is a really sane, uncrazy food plan, and it's not about buying their food. It's really about being mindful about what you're eating. And it really does teach you how much you can eat to gain weight, to maintain your weight, or to lose weight. And once you become a lifetime member, it's free. And I think it's $10 a week. So it's something that everybody basically can afford to do. And I've had so many women, you know, who are strung out on dieting, stop dieting forever by just really getting clear about, you know, about how much, you know, about what their little bod could eat. It really gives you a great way to gauge.
That's great. We have a question from Dev, and she says she's from Aventura, which I believe is in South Florida. What is one of the most important tips to fall in love with ourselves?
One tip to fall in love with yourself. I think that that's a really great question. I think that this could be extremely counterintuitive. I would write a list of everything that you're beating yourself up about. Everybody's beating themselves up about something. There are very few people who feel completely at peace with themselves, or they always wish there was something that could be improved upon. Even Elle McPherson, when she was on Dave Letterman, he said, "Is there any part of your body that, you know, you're unhappy with?" And she said, "I wish I had better nail beds." So, you know, there's always something about us that we wish we could improve. So if you will write a list of all of the things that you know, if you could change about yourself, that you would change. Like, what if you were living, I'm going to actually change the assignment. If you were living a really well-lived life, how would you be living? And so one of the ways that I get to that is writing the negative thoughts out first, right? Because you can write affirmations till the cows come home. But if you've got really deep negative thoughts and beliefs, it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, right? You want to really go to the source of the problem. So if you can write the reasons why you don't feel, the parts of yourself that you do not love, and or ways that you are behaving that's not loving to yourself, and then pick the thing that's the biggest thing, and literally say, I'm going to take that on. So if the biggest thing that you're beating yourself up about is the fact that you're smoking, or if the thing that you're beating yourself up about is that you hate your job, or that you hate your apartment, or that you feel like you should be at a different place than you are right now, take it on and start to change it. Just write out a little action plan about three things that would help you solve that problem, and then make a commitment to get into action and apply those three things over the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That's really great. We have a question from Vonnie in New York, and she says, I understand the need for high heels, but I have an actual painful condition in my foot called Morton's neuroma, and I actually can't wear high heels or platforms
right,
or anything that puts my foot at that angle. The most I can wear is a 2-inch heel for a small amount of time. Each step is painful. I'm 5'10 and blonde and could be pretty hot, but can't do the heels. This is holding me back right now because I feel like I can't make those big important dates that would require the cocktail dress or the really dressy outfits. It's a very real fear.
It really is. And so the solution for that really is, first of all, 2 inches is enough of a heel to make this work. And really, I think that the key is to wear a shoe that has, you know, if you can do a little point that's tapered in the end, it doesn't have to be a stiletto point, but something even that might even be like a little squared off in the front to just kind of give your foot some shape. That is definitely going to help you. And sometimes doing like a little peep toe is really sexy. You can actually have toe cleavage where it's cut, the front of the shoe is cut low.
I love that. Toe cleavage.
That's what they call it. They actually call it toe cleavage. I did not make that up. And that really creates an illusion of sexiness, and like the heel is actually higher than it is. So instead of having it be cut high on the front of your foot, it's down low by the toe.
I would say the other thing is if any kind of shoe is really going to put you in pain, because pain will show on your face, you know, then make sure they're not looking at your feet. Make sure they're looking somewhere else, you know. They're looking at your face or they're looking at your chest, and put the attention somewhere else.
But she's also talking about, like, really, what do I do with a cocktail dress? The other thing is that, like, a flat boot is very sexy. Like, men find boots really sexy. So if you can find a boot that's, like, tapered in the front so it looks like, you know, it's coming to a bit of a point, and, you know, that kind of zips up and comes up to the knee, or just below the knee, or even right above the knee, that's a really sexy look.
Okay,
and you're a big girl. She's
5'10". Okay, so Licia from Greenville says, I'm a professor, and I'm shy inside, but I have bossy energy around me. I think I attract too many weak men or men behaving weak around me. How can I change this? What shall I do to be more feminine, flirtatious, and sexy?
I love this question. Okay, so she, just to paraphrase, said that she's shy and bossy all at the same time.
Right.
And that the men act in a way that's very weak around her and very beta around her. So the thing is that you want to energetically, this is why this romantic icon integration work would work really well for you, and getting like an energetic makeover. And I'm also not quite, I mean, I'd be very curious to actually see what you look like, but I think that the shyness on the inside is a really big factor for most women, and even women who are very, very alpha in the workplace. They develop this kind of very tough, competitive persona, right? But their romantic self is in a different place. It's coming from a different place. And as she shared, she's actually shy. So instead of being bossy with men, and instead of, you know, and kind of like that bossy thing is probably about her work, it also might be a reaction to the fact that she's really shy. So what she's doing is she's kind of getting aggressive, which is a big turn off to men, which she already knows. Her name is Licia?
Yeah.
Licia, so you already know that that's like it's not working for you, right? And you're pulling in all these kind of like frightened betas who just kind of want to suck up and want to submit and don't want to get into trouble with you. So, or get into trouble with you, but, you know, you don't want to get into trouble with them. So tossing men a crumb, like I talked about before, putting your focus on men and paying them a compliment, I call it stroking a man's feathers. In my book, Dating, Mating, and Manhandling, I compare men to birds, the ornithological guide to men. And what you want to do is, you know, the quickest way to draw somebody out is to really see them, is to really find something about them that you can mirror back to them that you find interesting. There's always something about someone to love, and or at least to admire in some way. So it could be from his cufflinks, cool cufflinks, to, you know, you might wonder why all those men in online photos are standing in front of their cars. They, you know, it's stuff, right? They're gizmos and gadgets. So you can go, cool car, or amazing helicopter, or wow, you know, it says here that you know, love inventing things. That's like, what an amazing talent, what an amazing gift. As soon as you start putting the focus on men and complimenting them, what will happen is you will stop being bossy. It will make them feel at ease with you. And then the other thing that I will say to you is that if you can stop telling men what to do, if you can really literally stop telling men what to do, I call it telling men what time it is. If you can stop telling them what to do and really respond to the energy, you know, once you open up the conversation, I always say you can, I even believe that a woman can ask a man out for a first date, but then you can never ask him out again. You can let him know that you're interested, but once he knows that you're interested, it's really up to him to move the relationship forward. And I always say that, you know, men like to move campaigns forward, you know, in wartime and also in romantic relationships. So, you know, a man wants to hunt. You know, you want to create a fun, flirtatious, predatory chase, and you don't want to take the fun out of it by doing their job for them. And men really value what they work for. What they don't work for sometimes doesn't seem like it's all that valuable. So you want to let a man court you. You want to inspire that really beautiful, sexy, hot male-female dynamic where he's polarized into his most sexy, romantic self. And you want to be polarized into your most feminine, bodice-ripping, romantic self. And the, you know, the way to do it is to really let them, you want to signal their approval, your approval towards them. And this is, it's so confusing for women because we've been told that men should make the first moves. And, you know, when it comes to complimenting men, I don't want you complimenting their physique. That's what men do. They compliment how you look. You don't want to feel like you're hitting on men because that is very uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for you, and it's definitely going to be uncomfortable for them, and it definitely could send the wrong message that you just want, you know, action in the back of your Explorer, which that's not necessarily what you're looking for. You really want a romantic connection. So the kind of flirting that I want you to do is by being positive, being engaged, and really complimenting, once you're talking to him, really admiring him, you know. And the truth is that all men love to be admired. It's that simple. And this might be also why they love dating young girls, because it's really easy to impress them, you know. It's only a theory, but I think I'm actually right. So I want you to really communicate. It's funny, because I had this woman who I adore. She took my last Man Magnet makeover, and she said, you know, I don't understand what's happening. I'm getting to the first date, and I'm not getting to the second date. I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. And I asked her, okay, well, what are you doing on these dates? And she said, well, they're just going on and on about their yachts and their boats and their planes and their awards and their and it's just like, snore. And I said, oh, my God, are you kidding? I said to her, no, I know exactly why you're not getting to a second date, because you're not impressed with him. On first dates, men are going to, like, go on and on and on about everything that's awesome about them, and they're basically trying to see if you are, you know, satisfied and impressed with what he's got to offer, because if he can't satisfy you, if he can't fill your bill, he's not going to waste time on taking you out again on a second date. And this idea of playing hard to get and really, you know, having your nose up in the air and being cold and making them work for your approval is completely bass-ackwards. You know, what you really want to do is you want to let them know that you're actually impressed with what they have. And I always say that a man who's not impressed with you will not try to impress you. That is a romantic, that is a man fact. A man who's not impressed with you will not try to impress you. So the next time you're on a date and he starts going on and on about his awards and his accolades and how he valet parked the car, you know, and valet parked his Bentley, as a matter of fact, because he didn't want anybody to, like, scratch it, right? He's really saying, I'm awesome. If you pick me, you will get the most high-quality male sperm on the block.
You know, the one thing I learned a long time ago that really helped me with men was somebody once said, never do something for any man who's over the age of 5 that he can't do for himself.
Right on.
You know,
except,
so,
you know, there is something that women can do for men over the age of 5 that they can do for themselves.
Right, right.
But they'd like to get you to do for
right.
them.
But for the most part, you know, that so many women are always in fix-it mode because they're working all day long and they like to solve problems and they want to jump in and tell them how to do and be and go. But if they're over 5, let them figure it out for themselves. Okay, right. Got another question for you. Karen from Reno wants to know, where are the men hiding? I don't want to meet a man in a bar. Any recommendations?
Yes, go online. It is literally man-tastic, and I am telling you, I work with women all over the world, and they come and do my programs and my makeovers, and we launch them online, and the most successful men in the world are now dating online. They're not necessarily at matchmakers anymore because, you know, honestly, you know, when you go to a matchmaker, you don't really see their entire database, so it's kind of like, would you, when you go shopping, do you want somebody to just hand a pair of jeans through the curtain? You know, or do you want to look at the rack? We all know that men like to look at the rack.
Right. So, you know, this is a good place for you to talk about your Cyber Flirt reboot programs for online dating and really give them a sense of what they would get from that.
Thank you. Well, I do something called, I've got three programs for online dating. One is called the Man Magnet Makeover. It's a three-day event that women come to from all over the world. And we give them all of the romantic marketing tools that they need to succeed online. And that is from, you know, your hair and makeup. And then we all go shopping and you get a date wardrobe and also clothing for the actual shoot. And then it is a seminar of romantic intention setting. And then there is an all-day photo shoot with four different looks, and there's a flirting in the field seminar, and you get a buddy, and, you know, because there's a lot of emotional process work that we work on. As people were talking about, you know, there's fear and sometimes anxieties about kind of putting yourself back out there again. So you get a flirt support group in the makeover. And then the next day is an online profile writing boot camp. And that gives you the secrets about, I have a formula and a template about how to really create a very evocative, very inspiring profile to men. And there are buzzwords and there's certain kinds of techniques that really speak to men and that they're wanting to hear. And you want to authentically be yourself. And it's very interesting because I have a statistic with the women that I work with that there's a very high number of women that when I work with them and I launch them online, meet their love within the first three dates of being online. Now, other women do need to date online for 6 months to a year to find their person actively, but there's a really high incidence of people meeting people quickly, and that's because there's certain essence words that are really true about you that when you know how to put your authentic essence into a profile in a way that men can visually and emotionally engage with, they'll get really inspired by this vision of love that you're going to create online. And literally, you will be, like, let's say if you're a gelato stand, you're the only place where that's got that flavor, right? So they become so activated and so engaged and so inspired about seeing you that it really, because what you want to do is you want to break through the clutter online and you want to be the one for them, like blink, 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 like flashing lights. And you want to transition them from your first photo to reading your profile to feeling really inspired to actually write to you. And then you need to know how to engage them back. And then you need to know how to take that to a phone call. And then you need to know how to take it to a date and then to a relationship. So the magnet is a weekend kind of intensive. And then there's a four-week teleclass where everybody launches into cyberspace and like a chat room for gals to. And honestly, women go to, like, weddings and, you know, it becomes a very fun, you know, active support system. But if you can't make that weekend, the Cyber Flirt Reboot will teach you how to take your photos step by step and how to write your profile. And then Cyber Flirt Manhunt will teach you how to find lovebirds online, how to flirt with him, how to read between the lines of his profile, and then how to do all that transitioning that I was just talking about.
And you have a special gift for everybody today. Tell them how it is and how to get there.
Okay. If you email me at laurenfrancis.com, and the Francis is spelled with an E. It's LaurenFrancis.com. If you write tiara in the subject line, T-I-A-R-A, I will send you a podcast program that, a free podcast about creating legendary love.
Okay, so your email is Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, at LaurenFrancis, with a C, .com.
That's,
and you get the free legendary love podcast.
Exactly. Yes. And my website's Lauren Francis, www. But, yeah, if you're going to email me directly, it's lauren@laurenfrancis.com. And you will get a legendary love podcast. And it's going to teach you how to create a love language with men that will inspire him to come back for more.
Lauren, this has been so great. I took so many notes, and I'm not
You're
even
so
dating.
Sweet.
This is so great. Thank you so much. Okay, so I want to remind everybody before I let you go, laurenfrancis.com. And if you want the free Legendary Love podcast, it's lauren@laurenfrancis.com. Any final words you want to leave us with?
I just adore you, and I just so appreciate your ability, you know, your ability to kind of create such an incredible community of women who are really inspired to create love. And I just want to say to all the women that are listening to this that you really can create the hot and heavy romantic ending that you desire and deserve. It just might take a little footwork. And honestly, even Cinderella had to do a little footwork. And all those romantic stories, you know, Snow White cleaned up after 7 grumpy dwarfs. And, you know, Cinderella, you know, swept up before, you know, her prince kind of found her. So the fact that you are really willing to take proactive steps to your, you know, creating your romantic happy ending is so meaningful. And creating love, it's really funny, in creating love, for some reason, women don't, like, we know that if we want to have a great butt, you got to go to the gym. And if you want a great career, you have to really have a great resume, and you've got to really put in the time. But to have a great love life, you really also do need to do some footwork. And so I don't want you to feel like if you have to do that footwork that you're a loser, because honestly, this area, if you don't really put the energy into it, doesn't just happen. Everybody's working, everybody's busy, and it's really important to carve out time to create that romantic life that you want to have.
Mm. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. So, everybody, thanks for joining us, and good night.